This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I'm going to share around the fact that Jesus is calling you. And I want us to turn to Mark chapter 3, from verse 13 to 15. Such a powerful verse. I was just spending some time around this week. Here in Mark 3, verse 13 to 15. And Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also called apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. This morning, I want to share three things. It's three different messages for three different groups of people. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us as it's applicable. So let us just pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that it is life. We want to thank you, Lord, that even though sometimes your words are hard to understand, only you have the words of eternal life. And Lord, so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will prepare our hearts. Lord, we pray that you will soften our hearts to receive and grant us understanding to see. Lord, I pray that we will have the faith to apply what you teach us, that we may eat it as the bread of life and be filled with it. We thank you, Lord, where you lead us, there is always life. And so, Lord, we come to you and we humble ourselves to you, Lord. We surrender our own intellect and our own understanding, and we exalt yours above ours, your wisdom above ours, your foolishness above all our wisdom, because your foolishness is greater than all our wisdom. So, Lord, we pray that you will come and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Firstly, it's so powerful that Jesus went up to the mountain and then he called those whom he desired to be with. It's so interesting. He called those whom he desired. And I want to encourage you this morning that God desires to be with you. The reason that you are here this morning is because God has called you. I do not believe in coincidence. I believe in God's work in each and every life. And the reason that you are here this morning is because God is calling you. And I want to encourage you, the reason He is calling you is because He has a desire for you. He loves you. And He wants to be with you. And that's why God has called you and me. He has a desire, a love for you, and it's not random. Your calling is not random. The fact that you are here, the fact that you have woke up and you've decided to come to church is because God is calling you. It's not because of my preaching or the coffee or anything else. It's because God is calling you. And each one of us have a choice whether we're going to respond to this call, whether we're going to answer it or not. But I want to declare to you, you are not just here randomly. You are here because God is calling you, and more specifically, because He has a desire for you. God knows you. You know, we get some insight into this account in Luke chapter 6. Now, it came to pass in those days that He went up to the mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself. You are called because God has a desire for you. And He knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows where you were born. He knows the circumstances in which you grew up. He knows your sin and your mistakes. And He has a desire to be with you. And therefore He has called you. You are not the winner of a lotto. God knows you and He's calling you because He loves you and He has a desire to be with you. In John chapter 2, it continues to say, and when he was in Jerusalem, it's so powerful, the fact that God knows you. And despite what you think you have done, and the reality of what you've done, and despite what you think you are and who you see yourself to be, God sees you differently because he has chosen you and he has called you to be his own. And here in John chapter 2, we see something powerful. We see this fact that God knows every person, and he chooses whom he will reveal himself to and who he will withdraw from. And yet we see in John chapter 2, he says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." Many believed in him because of the signs and the wonders that Jesus did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in their hearts. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of a man, for he knew what was in a man. And yet God called you. And he has chosen to entrust himself to you because he loves you. The question this morning is, will you respond to him? You know, sometimes the phone rings. You know what we do? We look who's calling. What happened to you? You see, oh, it's that guy. No, I don't think I'm going to answer the call. Well, Jesus is calling you this morning. Will you answer? The reason he's calling you is because he loves you. And he has a desire to be with you. So the question for some here this morning is not whether God wants to be with you. Rather, the question is, do you want to be with him? How will you respond today to his call? Well, it's interesting, in Mark chapter 3, he went up onto the mountain and he called to him those he desired, and they came to him. They responded. We see again here in Matthew 4 verse 19, and he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left everything and they followed him. For one group of people here this morning, the question is, will you follow him? Because he's calling you. Will you answer, or will you turn aside? Secondly, God desires you to be with him. It's very interesting. God did not call those that he wanted to be with. It says he called those who he wanted them to be with him. It's very interesting. There's a difference there. He desires you to be with him. Now, there's two things that I want to say to some people here this morning. God is calling you to be with him, that you may be with him. He's not calling you to be part of a church or an organization first. He's calling you to be first with him. And when God is calling you, some people are so committed to organizations and churches that becomes more important, the ministry, than being with Jesus. And people hold on to their ministries and their churches and their organizations more than they hold on to Jesus. And Jesus is not calling you to a specific church or an organization more than anything else. God is calling you to be with him. First and foremost, above everything, God is calling you to himself. I remember as a young man when I believed God called me to the ministry, I was looking for the place and the organization through which God wanted to use me. And I remember going from one place to the next to join a organization or a church through which I can serve Jesus. And as I remember, I was in YWAM and I was at the final year of the school of the Frontier Missions, and I wanted to be a missionary, and I wanted to join YWAM, and I wanted to join the particular base in an unreached people group. And as I was longing to belong, I was just needing God to tell me, where must I go? Which base must I join? Which place must I go to? And God was silent. And it was so frustrating because I just wanted to know, where's the place you want me to be? And you know what God told me 3 days before the end? He says, I want you to go back and serve the church. It made no sense to me because there was no opportunity. There was no position. And so I was obedient to be where He sent me. And so I went there, and the only opportunity there was for me was to work in the garden and to fix an old house that the university donated to the church. And in that time, the only thing that I had to do was to be with Him. And it's in that place of being with Him that I found where He wanted me to be. And first and foremost, it was to be with Him. Not with an organization. Not in any place. But simply to be with Him. It's like, remember Mary and Martha. Where the one sister was sitting at the feet of Jesus and the other one was doing all the things that was necessary to host Jesus. And she was so busy preparing and doing the work that she got offended with the sister that was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then she came to Jesus and said, Lord, see how hard I'm working for you. Will you not just please tell my sister to come and help me? And Jesus responded and says, but she has chosen the best. Maybe you should also just be with me. So God is not first and foremost calling you to belong to a church and organization. God is calling some of you just to be with Him. For some of you, you are so busy even in volunteering for the church and doing great things in the ministry, but you're not with Him. And Jesus this morning, I believe, is calling you to be with Him first. Because that's far better than all the other stuff that we do for Him. What is most important is to be with Him. Don't get so busy in life, in doing things, that you don't have time to be with Him. This morning He's calling you to be with Him because He has a desire to be with you. It's from that place of being with Jesus that I joined the church. I committed myself to serve God's house, to be accountable and to be in fellowship. And I've been with that church since 95. It's been a long time. And I am not regretting any moment of it. But and in that time of committing myself to a house where God wanted me to be, to a congregation where He wanted me to serve, I committed myself and I submitted to the leadership and I invested myself in this church, and I'm still doing it to this very day. But if you cut my veins, it's not orange. And I've become a pastor and a district leader and a regional leader, and I'm on a national apostolic team and I'm on the international apostolic team. I'm committed to this church. Don't misunderstand me. But if you cut my veins, my blood is not orange. Because God called me first to be with Him. Because that's the most important thing. And if you are church hopping, stop. Stop. Ask God where He wants you to be and commit. You can't have a relationship with Christ and reject the body. He is the head of the church. The church is His body. If you want to know Jesus fully, you have to accept not just the head, you have to accept the body too. So find a place. Pray and ask. Is this what I need to commit? Then commit. Make a commitment. Become a member. Serve in that body. But the body is not the most important. It's part of the kingdom. But don't join the church or the organization more than you join Jesus. Join Jesus and then commit to a church. I've been following Jesus all this time, and I've noticed that I have to be with Him every day. I have discovered the difference between being with Jesus and not being with Jesus. And it's not that Jesus isn't there for me. It's not that Jesus is not here. It's not that Jesus is not in my house. He's not in the office. He's not in my car. It's not that He's not with me when I do the things that I do. The difference is I'm not always with Jesus. Jesus is always with us, but we are not always with Jesus. And that might confuse you, but ask your wife and she will tell you the difference. Because sometimes we are at home with our wives, but we are not with our wives. We are together in the same house, in the same building. We sometimes in the same room, but we are not there. Ask your wife. We are there, but we are not there. Have you discovered that before? And sometimes it's not, you know, the point is not that God is not with us. The point is we are not sometimes with God. So this morning there's another group of people that God is challenging you. He's encouraging you. He's wooing you back to Himself. He says, I want you to be with me. I'm calling those who I desire to be with me. Put down the phone. Is it possible to put down the phone and just to be with Jesus? Is it possible just to switch off the TV? Put down the newspaper and be with Jesus. He has a desire for you to be with Him. So this morning for some of us, God is encouraging you to put down your phone and actually make some time to be with Him. And maybe that's for some of your husbands here. Maybe you should do the same with your wives. Maybe wives, you should do the same with your husbands. But that's for free. What God is challenging us this morning is to be with Him. And yes, He's with us always. But we are not always with Him. You know, technology is an amazing thing. But Jesus appointed 12 so that they may be with Him. It's very interesting. He didn't appoint 12 so that He could be with them. He appointed 12 so that they could be with Him. You are called to be with Him. You know, that's John 15, is it not? The vine. Where Jesus says, we are the branches and He is the vine and we need to abide in Him. It's not the other way around. It's not the vine that will wither if it's not in the branches. It is the branches that will wither if it's not in the vine. The vine is there. It's not going to go anywhere. But we need to abide in Him. He's with us always, but we need to tap into Him. We need to abide into Him. He is the source. We are not the source. It's not that He needs us. We need Him. And so we need to come to a place where we come to Him every day, abide in Him, tap into Him, get that life so that we can bear fruit. Jesus says that in John 15 verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus has a desire and He's calling you to be with Him. Because in Him there is life. So we need to spend time with God. He is always in the room, but we need to be with Him. Technology is an amazing thing. WhatsApps and voice notes. I don't know if you've noticed these things. But you know what is so sad is that communication has become impersonal. It used to be very personal. Remember the days when there were no phones? Who's old enough for that? When there was no phones, the only way you could communicate was either by a letter, true, but communication was personal. If I had to speak to my wife or my friends that lived in the same town, who of you will write a letter to your neighbor? We never did these things. Now we send them a WhatsApp. There we go. We send them a WhatsApp. Thank you, Lord. That was funny. But we would never consider writing our neighbor a letter. It would have been an offense. It's so impersonal. You see, what technology has done is it made communication impersonal. So instead of seeing somebody face to face and talking to them, at least when there was only phones, we could hear each other's voices. And we could respond to it. Now it's a WhatsApp. And you know, my ultimate favorite is the voice note, where we have a conversation with no response. There's absolutely no response. I tell you what I want, and that's it. So we send a voice note, and then we expect the person to respond to what we have said. Isn't that amazing? There's no personal communication. There's no, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And based on this relationship, I'm saying or asking or inquiring certain things. And there's feedback. There's an emotional, relational feedback. But we've become so technologically advanced that we send voice notes which tells the other person what we want and then we leave. This is what I want. Bye. And I'm waiting for your response. And if you don't get back soon enough, I get offended. What society are we living in? You know what's worse? We do the same with God. We send him a voice note. I have 15 minutes, I have 5 minutes, so I'll make my requests and say goodbye. I need this, I need that, I would love this, I would love to see that. Thank you for it, bye. And now I'm waiting for God to respond. And if he doesn't get back soon enough, we get offended. Because we've been conditioned that communication is a one-way thing. So we send our emails and we send our voice notes and our WhatsApps and we wait for responses. And there's no longer an interaction. And God says, I have a desire for you to be with me. Because I love you. I'm with you always. I'm there the whole day. All I want you is to be with me. So we send God our voice notes and we wait for him to reply. We say what we wanted and then God must respond. But actually, it's the other way around, if you think about it. God has spoken to us and he's waiting for us to respond. He's saying, I love you. I want you to be with me. And then he's waiting for us. Actually, he's the God and we are not. He's the one that can send us the voice note. As a matter of fact, he already did. More than that, he sent his own son to be with us. So we should actually respond to him, not wait for him to respond to us. And society has warped this around. And so we expect God to do what we want. And we have no interest in what God wants. Because society and our culture has elevated the individual above everything. Instead of realizing, but God is God. And we are his children, saved, redeemed, but he is God and I'm not. And I have such a desire to get to know Him, what is on His heart. As much as He wants to know what is on mine, but He still is gone. In John 15, verse 9 to 10, it says, "As the Father has loved me, so has also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So there's this relationship where God has spoken to us and we respond to him, that we grow in a relationship with him. He wants us to be with him so that we can grow in our knowledge and understanding and relationship with him. Grow in his love for us. Verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." And I've realized that the more I spend time with God, in His Word, in His presence, and I'm listening to His voice note, and I'm responding to that it's not a voice note, it's a person speaking to me. I have discovered this amazing relationship with God through His Word, in discovering who He is and what He feels and what He thinks. And as I respond to that, I get a response back. But it starts with me wanting to be with Him, not some other way. And so I've discovered this relationship with God that leads to life every time. But the more I spend time with Him, I've also realized that I cannot do the things that He asks me to do in my own strength. When I read the Word, when I read Luke 3 verse 11, and it speaks to me, I realize I cannot do this. I cannot do this in my own strength. I need you more. I actually need you to do this. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot do this independently of you. I need you. And so the more I spend time with you and I realize your way of life, I also realize that I cannot do this in my own strength. I need you to come and do in me what I'm incapable of doing. And that is to become like you. And so I become dependent and desperate for him the more I understand who he is. And that's the whole point. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in him. That's what Jesus is saying. Unless we ask him, we cannot do who he is. It's like this pen. Can this pen stand up straight? But what is it doing now? It's standing up straight. So the question is, can the pen stand up straight? Who says no? So can the pen stand up straight? Yes, only if I hold it. Can this pen stand up straight on its own? No. This is the whole point. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide in him. You cannot stand straight unless you abide in him. Unless he holds you, you cannot stand straight. So the pen in itself, the branch in itself, cannot bear fruit by itself. It will, let's see. It cannot. Unless it's held up. And you can only be held up unless you abide in him. And that's the whole point. And this is the amazing journey and discovery that each and every one of us can have with God. You know what's the saddest thing is? Some Christians say, because this pen cannot stand on itself, it doesn't matter whether the pen is standing or not. Because this pen cannot stand on its own, it doesn't matter to God whether it's not standing up. That's not true. God wants every pen to stand up straight. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. That's why he says we must be holy as he is holy. That's why he says, I want you to bear fruit. And that's why I've given you the Holy Spirit, so that even though you cannot do this in your own strength, I will enable you to stand up straight. So yes, it does matter to God whether we live holy lives or not. It's not that God does not care about holy living. He still cares about it. And he still wants us to live upright, just as he is upright. And he has given us the Holy Spirit because he knows we cannot do it in our own strength. So that as we abide in him, he changes us and empowers us to live the life that he wants us to live. But do not believe the lie that it doesn't matter to God whether you're up or down. No, it matters to God. And that's why God says, if you're in me, you will stand up. And if you're not in me, you will not. And that's why you will know who's in me and who's not. Because you look who's standing up and who's not. But you can only do this if you abide in me. So God is calling some of us this morning to abide in him so that he can help you to stand up straight. And you know what is so powerful? It says here in John 15, the same chapter, verse 11, it says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. There's nothing greater when you realize I cannot do this, and then God comes supernaturally because of his involvement, because of his person, because of his grace, because of his power, and he enables me to do something that I know I cannot do in my own strength. And you know what it is? This joy that fills me is not the joy that I'm able to bear fruit. The joy is the fact that it's because of a relationship with him that I'm able to bear fruit. So the joy is not the fruit. The joy is the ability to have fruit because of a relationship with God. That gives us great joy and great confidence. Because it's not just about knowing the scriptures. It is about knowing the voice of God. There's nothing more powerful when you hear the word of God, the voice of God, yourself. Yes, it's great to come to church and to watch TBN and to hear great messages that encourages us, but there's nothing more encouraging than hearing from God yourself. Amen? There's nothing greater when God speaks to you yourself. And so God says, I have a desire for you to be with me so that I can impart to you life. And thirdly, Jesus wants to use you. Mark 3, verse 14, he says, And he appointed 12, whom he also called named apostles, so that they may be with him and that he might send them out to preach, to give authority, to cast out demons. You know, the thing that prevents us the most from going out is because we believe the lie that we are not called and that we are not equipped enough to share the gospel with others. God not only wants you to be with him, he wants to send you out. He wants to use you. He wants you to discover not only his love for you and the power that there is in this relationship, he wants to use you in this relationship to bring others to the same relationship. And the saddest thing is to see Christians not going out and bringing others into the same relationship is because they don't believe they are equipped enough to do so. But that's not what God says, and that's not the reality of being in him. Because he's not asking you for an intellectual ability to communicate. He's asking you to communicate a relationship. And so many Christians think because they're not equipped enough, they cannot share this life in Christ. It's very interesting. We read here in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. You see, what happened is John and Peter performed a great miracle, healing a man. 5,000 men got saved. They got arrested because they shared the gospel. And they were rebuked by the Sanhedrin and all the high priests and priests, and everybody was together, and they commanded them and threatened them to be quiet and not to continue to preach the name of Jesus. And as they were interrogating them, they realized that these guys were untrained and uneducated. And they marveled. They couldn't understand how these untrained, uneducated people could share the gospel and 5,000 people got saved. They couldn't understand the boldness in which they communicated, even though they were untrained and uneducated. And then they realized, then it dawned to them, these guys have been with Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you're trained or educated. The only thing that matters is if you are with Jesus. Because sharing Jesus is not sharing a philosophy, it's not sharing a structure, it's not sharing information, it's sharing a relationship. And the more you are with Jesus, the more real this relationship is, the more bold you will be to proclaim what is real. My children don't need a degree to tell you about who I am. You can just ask them, and they will tell you. You know why? Because they are with me. And I want to encourage you. You don't need to be trained. You don't need to be educated. All you need is to be with Jesus. And there's some people here today that God is calling you and say, stop thinking you don't have what it takes. You have me. That's all you need. That's all you need. And so they marveled because they realized these men have been with Jesus. And so it's so powerful to see as they threaten them to stop and they try to intimidate them. And they couldn't find any reason to punish them because they were afraid of the crowds. And so they called in the witnesses and they interrogated them again and they threatened them again. And they said, you shall not preach in the name of Jesus ever again. And they threatened them and sent them back. And you know what's the first thing they did when they came back to their brothers and their sisters? They went back to Jesus. They went to be with Jesus and they prayed. And they told the Lord everything that they happened. And then they asked the Lord of two things. Lord, these people, they command us and threaten us not to preach your name. But we ask you for two things. And I want us to read this. It says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look upon the threats and grant your servants to continue to speak the word with boldness. Please grant us to speak your word with boldness. Grant us to continue to speak your word with boldness. Help us not to be afraid, not to be intimidated. But Lord, I pray that you will help me to continue to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. You see, there's something that happens when you're with Jesus. There's something that happens when He speaks to you, when He empowers you, when you hear His voice yourself because you've been spending time with Him. There's something that happens with us, and that's boldness, that's confidence. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you are here and you lack boldness and confidence. I want to encourage you to go to Jesus. Just be with Him. Put down your phone and be with Him. Let Him speak to you. Build a relationship with Him. Let Him impart into you. Ask Him for these things. And you know what? His Spirit will fill you and empower you. And so this morning, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us for those three things. For some, you do not know that God is calling you. Or maybe you know that God is calling you, but you were not willing to let everything go. Maybe you are fishing and Jesus is calling you and you know He's calling you, but you're hesitant to let go of the nets and to follow Him. Maybe Jesus is calling you to do something that you are not thinking you have the ability or the faith for, but God is encouraging the morning to let go of the nets and to trust Him. and to follow him. And I don't know who you are. I don't know if you are trusting God for that. But there are some people here this morning that God is calling you. God is calling you, and you need to respond. You need to respond. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know what God is calling you to, but this morning I believe God is calling you. And then there's some people here this morning, God has a desire to be with you. And he's in your house, he's in your work, he's in your car, but you need to be with him. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know what it means to you, but God wants you to respond to this call to be with him. And then there's some of us that God is wanting to use you. He wants to send you out, and you think you are untrained and unequipped or uneducated, and God is saying, just be with me. Just ask me, and I will empower you. I will help you. So let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this day, Lord. I want to thank you for your love for us. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you have a desire for each and every one of us. And Lord, that you call us by name. You know us and you love us and you have such a desire to be with us. Lord, we want to thank you for this privilege to know that you love us, to know that you have a desire to be with us. And Lord, I want to pray for those, Lord, that you have been calling but have been hesitant, maybe fearful, maybe not sure, maybe not confident. But this morning, you are calling them afresh and new. You're saying, come, I want you to be with me. And if that is you this morning, and God has been calling you, and you know God has been speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, and you need to respond to him, you need to answer the call. You see, it's Jesus on the other side of the line. It's his name on your phone. You have him in your address book. He's calling you this morning. If that is you and you need to respond, I just want you to raise your hand, just where you're at. Thank you for those hands. You know God has been calling you, but you need to respond. You can drop those hands again. And then there's some of us here today, God has been calling you. God has been calling you, and he has a desire for you to be with him. He wants you to make space in your life to spend time with him. And if that is you, I want you to respond to him, saying, I want you to be with me. If that is you, just raise your hand, just where you're at. Thank you for those hands. And then there's some people here this morning, God is saying, I want to use you. I want to use you. Don't be afraid. Just do it with me. And I don't know who you are, but God has been calling you and you've been hesitant to respond because you think you're not trained enough or educated enough. But Jesus is saying to you this morning, I believe, you just need to know me. Is enough. You just need to step out with me. Not on your own, but with me. And if that is you, just want you to respond also to the Lord. You know who you are. Lord, I thank you for those hands. And I want to ask you to do something bold. I want you to respond and I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask some people to pray with you, and we're going to pray just an anointing over your life. We're going to pray for boldness, and we're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to take those steps, no matter which step that is, that you will be able to do and be with him. As a matter of fact, that you will be with him so much that the doing will become so easy, if that is okay. So Father, I want to pray for each and every person that has raised their hand, each and every person that is responding to your call, Lord. I want to pray, Father, that as they come, Lord, as they respond to you, as they answer the call, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will anoint them, that you will empower them in Jesus' name. So if that is you, I want you to quickly come forward and we're going to pray a blessing over you. We're going to anoint you. So please come forward if you are responding to this call. Because I really believe God wants to impart something into you as you respond. This is the whole point of an altar call. It's the response. There's nothing powerful about this as much as it is about you responding to what God is doing in your life. And as you respond, open your hearts to receive from Him an impartation, an anointing, a presence, an encounter. This is really what it's about. As we respond to Him, you see, God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. He didn't call the educated or the powerful. He called the willing. And this morning is about just responding. And that's what God is looking for. So I want to encourage you, if that is you, just come as we minister. And we're just going to pray a blessing. We're going to ask God to give you boldness, to give you faith, to anoint you with the Holy Spirit so that you'll be able to be with Him, to step out with Him, and to bring in the harvest. Because you know what's the ultimate? Ultimately, God has called each one of us to multiply. He's called us to multiply. He's called us to share that relationship with others. That's why God says, as I imparted my image and my likeness, I want you to be fruitful and multiplied. And then sin messed it up. And then Jesus came to redeem us. And we became new creations. And then Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. Multiply. Share the good news. Share this relationship with others. So it starts with you responding. And ultimately it will lead to others responding because of your response and your relationship with Him. Amen. We're going to pray for you. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to minister. The facilitators can help us. We're just going to pray an anointing, a blessing over every life.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.